The Auburn Tigers held their pro day for their NFL draft prospects this week. Running back Tank Bigsby had a good day. Did he help himself and uplift his draft stock? We'll talk about it next on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, family? Welcome back to the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, your daily podcast covering your favorite draft prospects, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's your boy, Damian Parson, always on the ones and twos. You can find me on Twitter at DP_NFL. I'm a national scout over at the Draft Network and your favorite and local running back guru. And of course, I got the chat with me, my boy, Keith Sanchez. You can find him on Twitter at TheTalentCode. Keith, talk to him, baby.
What's up, Locked On family? This is Keith Sanchez, senior draft analyst with the Draft Network. And yes, DP got it right. 2019 national champ. Yes, those LSU Fighting Tigers, man. Greatest team ever. Graced the football field, man. But you know why we're here? Like always, we're here to bring championship-level content surrounded around the NFL draft, whether that's prospects, philosophies, thoughts, just anything surrounding the NFL draft. DP, man, we have a pretty good thing coming up, man. We have this pro day. We're talking about Auburn. We're talking about Clemson. And we're going to hit a couple small school pro days that can where guys can have a big impact in the NFL. But before we get started, DP, man, kick them off with one of our title sponsors.
Oh, man, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Keith, Auburn Tigers, you know, SEC brethren in competition for you with the LSU Tigers and everything, man. You know, we knew about Tank Bigsby, Derek Hall, and those guys coming in.
Wait. We have to shout out Cam Newton, man. We got to talk about Cam.
You're right. My dog, Cam Newton, man. I definitely got to give a shout out to the big dog, right? The big Auburn Tiger, right? Cam Newton threw 30 passes out there, showcasing his skill set. As he said, there are not 32 better quarterbacks in the NFL than him. So shout out to Cam Newton. Keith, Tank Bigsby came in, height 5'11". He weighed 215. Uh-huh. And he actually trimmed down his 40-yard dash from, I believe, a 4.56 at the combine to 4.45 at his pro day. Tell us how that helps him.
Oh, man, it helps him tremendously. It's just it's knocking off that last checkbox of this is a full, I guess, athlete's the word, right? Like he's a complete player from the running back position. So you know that he runs with power, right? You know that he has good size, good height. But now it's like, okay, does this guy have the home run speed, right? Does he have the speed to threaten defenses that if he makes it to the second level, y'all should be worried? And the answer to that question is yes, he has the speed to pull away from people. So I think that was so important, man. And you watch, you know, some of the clips that they put on Twitter, the guy looks well put together, like probably 2-3% body fat, right? Like he looks like a starting running back. And I want to let all our listeners know, me and DP, we're lock and step in this. This is a starting NFL running back, man. This guy, I was texting with one of the guys on Twitter, and he's like, man, I would love to see this guy in Jacksonville paired with ATN. And I'm like, you know, that's not a bad fit, right? But anywhere he goes, if he goes to the Dallas Cowboys and he's the 1-2 punch to Tony Pollard, this is a guy that can be a very productive back. I have no problem with giving him the rock 20 times a game. He's going to tote the rock, and you just have a complimentary piece on him. So I think it was a very positive day for Tank Bigsby as a running back.
100%, Keith. And we know how – I think the weight was big too, right? 215. Yeah, that's starting NFL size
right
there.
Yep, that's it right there.
215 is big, but then the bust of the 4.45 and showcase – like you said, he looks so lean that you don't even think he has any body fat when you see him out there running, you know, in his shirts with, you know, his shorts with no shirt on. He looks well put together. He looks ready to tote the rock right now in the NFL game, Keith. And you talked about the power. Like I said, we know that about him, right? You hit him up high, you're a defensive back, linebacker, whatever. You know, hey, good luck, because he packs a punch when he's leaning that shoulder into you. But then having that speed, I know I always talk about, for when I've talked about him and had the opportunity to talk about Tank, the footwork is good, The vision is good. The patience is good for this young man. The people to process quickly as a gap scheme. He's zone versatile. He's a scheme versatile, and he can run zone. He can run gap. But a guy, when he does press on the interior, he can navigate and move off of, okay, defensive lineman went this way. My interior offensive line had to alter his path of his block. Now I got to jump cut or just slide and shuffle and find open areas, right? Daylight sometimes for himself. So he's creative enough as a runner to, hey, if it's not blocked, I can still get what I need to get and keep us going forward. But that 4.4 speed, like you talked about, Keith, being able to showcase the long speed and the ability to create and generate explosive plays in the running game. And I do believe and I hope that a team that he continues to work on his hands and the NFL team doesn't just use him as a one first and second down running back, but give him some opportunities in the screen game and stuff to showcase what he can do as a pass catcher, because that explosiveness and be able to generate explosive plays, Keith, it could be beneficial for his long-term success if he can do it in the run game, which we know he can, but also in the passing game.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100%, man. But listen, DP, I know you're a running back guy, so we had to start with the running backs, man. But listen, this front seven at Auburn, it was one of the best in the SEC, right? If they would have just got the offense together, they'd have been okay because right. They're loaded on the defensive side of the ball, especially the front seven, and even the back end. But I want to talk about interior defensive lineman Kobe Wood, man, because this is a name that no one's talking about. And I think that this is a guy that can supplant himself clearly in the second round. And I think he's another starter. Like, this guy's a starter. I think he's scheme versatile where he can play. This is a 3-4 defensive end, or this is a 4-3 defensive tackle. You see the athleticism. You see the physicality that he plays with. He came in at 6'4", 278. Which I think is a good size for him. And if you look at his body and his frame, I think he's a guy that can easily push 300 pounds, or this is a guy that can get down to 265, 270 if need be. But, man, I watched some of his movement skills. Like I said, this is a really good athlete. So we're talking teams that need interior defensive linemen. Like, if you need to get a little bit more stout up front, this is definitely a guy to target because he's going relatively untalked about throughout this draft process. But this is a good football player that plays the game the right way.
Keith, I'm a big fan of Kobe Wood, man. Like you said, coming in at, you know, where he's listed at almost 280. And I remember talking to one of his coaches, and he's like, man, when he's on, like, he's unblockable. And he's like, yep. The things I've seen him do, the length, the power, but also, like, they stood him up as a defensive end, like an outside linebacker at times. Keith, it was very weird to see a 6'4", 280-pound guy in a two-point stance running twists and stunts, but he did it fairly well. But, man, you turn on that Missouri tape, I think that may have been his best tape of the season. Just single gap, three technique, right up on the guard, right? And just winning one-on-one reps in the passing game, but also flashing his colors, being able to stonewall blocks in the run game as well. He didn't run at his pro day, but he's somebody that I know that, you know, a couple teams already had second round grades on coming into the draft cycle, right? Into, you know, of course, Mobiles where the draft starts, and, you know, you got the Shrine Bowl, and of course, you know, the combine. I think this is a young man, Keith. Kobe Wooden is someone that fancy to know. Because he's talented enough to be a disruptive a three-down player in the NFL. Okay,
real quick, because we have to transition to our next segment. But, DP, I want to ask you, man. So we have guys like Brian Bracee that's mentioned in this draft class, right? And this, you know, these are first-round guys. I have a question. Do you think that Kobe Wooden, his play is on par or in the same stratosphere with the Brian Bracee as a football player? Real quick.
I do. I absolutely do, Keith. I think there's a chance for that. You know, he just needs some more coaching as well, and stability coaching-wise. But before we transition real quick, I want to give a shout-out to one of the other guys who was there that no one – I think he now should be on a lot of other people's radar, and that's wide receiver Shedrick Jackson. He came in at 6'1", 193. Keith, guys, you know, family, this is the nephew of Bo Jackson. Yes, that Bo Jackson, and the speed is definitely in the bloodlines, Keith, because he tapped in at a 4.29. He jumped 38 and a half. He jumped, in the broad 11.2. So 6'1", almost 200 pounds, sub 4.3. Man, that's blazing, Keith. So I want people to remember that name. Go check him out, because I believe he's one of those developmental late day three, potentially undrafted, you know, priority rookies, but someone that you definitely need to know.
Hey, I like that name, Paul, and that's what we do, right? We dive deep, man. We go find Bo Jackson's nephew, man. We go all the way deep, man. But he put on a hell of a performance yesterday. Auburn Tigers, they're loaded, man. That was a loaded pro day. I'm pretty sure all 32 teams were, in attendance because there were that many talented football players over there. But DP, man, we have to transition, man. We're going to the Clemson Tigers. Coming up next, man, we're talking about the Clemson Tigers, their pro day, and any standouts that they had for the NFL draft prospects.
The number one sports book in America is FanDuel. New customers get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use, and you can bet on everything from money line, point scores, threes drained, especially with the NBA season intact right now. And for especially with NBA bets right now, you look at spreads, money lines, player props, points, rebounds, assists, even get exclusive bets. FanDuel allows you to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. So don't miss a chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Those Clemson Tigers, man, a lot of names, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Trenton Simpson, Miles Murphy, right? Like Brian Brzee, they KJ Henry. Their front seven had a lot of talent, and they had like two guys go back that we thought were going into the draft, Keith. Yep. It was a loaded front seven. And looking at their pro day, Keith, one of the biggest talking points, and we both have watched this young man, Trenton Simpson. I remember him talking at the podium. He said, I'm a weigh in at 230, 235. I'm a 4.4 athlete. He didn't lie. He's 6'2", 34, and he ran a 4.43.
And you know what else we have to put on this scouting report? It's an honest man, man.
Honest guy, man.
He's not a car salesman. How many times do we get this stuff overhyped? Nah, man, I'm going to be 250, and they weigh in at 235. And now I'm going to run a 4.3, then they run a 4.6, right? But this is an honest guy. This is an honest guy.
Listen, if he sells you a car, take him for his word, all right? He's going to tell you it's going to be well. But, you know, even the explosiveness in the vertical, 40 and a half. But a lot of the talk, Keith, about Trenton Simpson, that scouts view him as a hybrid. They view him as a safety linebacker. Some teams have him on the board as a safety. Some teams have him on the board as a linebacker. Others have him as both. Where do you have Trenton Simpson?
Both of them. That's how they say it, right? Both of them. That's where I have him at, man. I think he's the perfect cross in – people going to get weary because Isaiah Simmons, he came out, you know, he was that do-it-all guy. And I'll always say this, man. Isaiah Simmons was a better athlete than football player, right? And you've seen that the development is taking place with the Arizona Cardinals. Trent Simpson is a hell of an athlete that's a good football player. He's both of them. So I want people to kind of change their lights and their perspectives, really dive into this kid's film because that's what he is. And like I said, I think I said this comparison before on the podcast, but, you know, how with Landon Collins, right, and Jamal Adams and, you know, you go back to the Eric Reeds and these really big safeties that play in the box, right, and they're almost linebackers. Well, Trent Simpson is the linebacker, right? He's just the really athletic linebacker. So you don't have to worry about, you know, like, okay, do I need to put 10 more pounds on my safety? He's like, nah, just draft this guy. He's athletic enough, man. You put on the tape at Clemson, this guy is so smooth in his transitions. Like, he literally lines up 5 yards off the hash, right? Like, literally covering slot wide receivers, and he's doing it comfortably, man. And just watching him at Pro Day, another smooth mover, man. The guy has fluid hips. So those type of workouts for him were so good. They were so good in transitions and everything, and he really made a statement. But DP, man, I got to talk about a guy with so much potential, but you talk about drafting a prospect. These are the type of guys that could potentially get you in trouble, man. KJ Henry, because Senior Bowl, I was able to get eyes on this guy in person. When I'm talking about, he looks the part, man. He looks the part. Let me say it again. He looks the part, man. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, man. And then, but you look up the stats, right? And I'm going to pull them up real quick. 2018, zero sacks. 2019, two sacks. 2020, 3.5 sacks. 2021, 4.5 sacks. 2022, 3.5 sacks, right? So the production is extremely limited. We're talking about a guy with, you know, that's played 4 or 5 years and might have 10 to 12 sacks, I think, if I did the math right. So, but you want to buy into the athlete that he is. So this is one guy that I'm going to struggle with, DP. And I haven't given my final grade to KJ yet, but I know I'm going to struggle with because the athleticism is there. And you just wonder what is needed to pull out the rest for him, because you can't teach the athletic traits, right? But you wonder the IQ, the processing for him to be able to get to the next step. And listen, even testing, we're talking pro day, man. I got his pro day numbers. He's 6'4 and 5'8, 250 pounds, right? He ran a 1.55 in a 10-yard split, and he ran a 4.63. Right. So that's why I talk about the type of athlete that he is, man. He's picking them up and he's putting them down. So I want to buy into this guy. And when I really do my deep dive, knowing his testing numbers from Pro Day, I'm going to, kind of put everything into one and then try to come up with a proper grade, because the ceiling is through the roof for what he could be. When you talk about teams that, run a 4-3 hand in the ground, defensive end, and he can be that number two to somebody's number one, right? That's the ideal role for him. So, man, that, like, potential through the roof, and that's one guy I wanted to highlight.
No, I like that you brought that up, Keith, because he is such a polarizing study, because I saw him too, and I'm like, man, like, this dude looks like he looks ready to go. And he looks like an NFL 4-3 defensive end right now, right? And it's, like you said, the lack of production, which production isn't everything, which we know that, but it's like, why haven't you, like, all the physical tools, why haven't you gotten 7 to 10 sacks in the season? You know what I mean? Especially playing on such a star-studded defensive line, they've had a lot of names come through there while he's been there, especially on the interior D-line and everything. So
yes, I'm glad
you brought that up.
That's something I battle with, because, like, I don't want to associate that to the coach, right? Because
right.
They put out a lot of productive defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Guys. I mean, maybe in the NFL they've been okay. When you talk about Cleveland Farrell and, a couple of those guys, they've been okay, but they put out a lot of productive NFL defensive lineman, but I'm hoping that this is a guy that can turn the corner.
Now, Keith, sticking with the defensive end, Miles Murphy, man, he's been hampered by a hamstring injury. He only bench pressed at the combine. He didn't redo his bench press. He stood on the, I believe it was 25, 26 reps at the combine, measuring at 6'4", 268, just shy of 270. But the hamstring didn't allow him to do any physical or athletic testing. He hasn't done any athletic testing this entire time that we have on record, Keith. Like, this, especially for a guy that was highly touted as like a top five prospect entering the season, right? Like, he was the number two edge behind Will Anderson, Keith. So how does that hurt? Well, how does that affect his draft stock, in your opinion?
Well, DP, I want to answer that, man. But guess what? We have a segment coming up, man. We have a segment coming up talking about the value of pro days. So, what we're going to do right after this? We're going to jump into the value of pro days and athletes testing their pro days, and what are the best things that we should take away from pro days.
Let's get back to it. Miles Murphy, the value of pro days, Keith. He hasn't had to work out. He hasn't been able to work out due to the injury, Keith. And like we just talked about, what does that do for his draft stock? Like, does that change the perception of him?
So this is the value of pro days, right? And you're in that player's, you're in his hometown, you're in his vicinity, you're in his spot where he works out, right? So NFL scouting, for those, obviously, I was at LSU, coaching at LSU for 5 years. So I went through probably 5 pro days, right? And so this is the setup. So it's you hosting an event, right? Like your team, your college team is hosting an event. And when you walk in there as a scout, this is your objective. Obviously to watch the on-the-field drills, but it's to continue to develop relationships with people on the staff, because you want to know character, right? And so when you tie that back to Miles Murphy, you're trying to see, like, okay, cool. If he didn't work out, is this associated with a hamstring? Okay. What type of hamstring, right? Like, is this something that it's really injured, or is this something where it's a hamstring and I'm kind of don't want to run because I don't want to run a bad time? Because they can be perceived two different ways. So you're trying to figure out, okay, cool, how does this guy compete, right? Like, is this something that he would normally shy away from? Is this something where he's just not that confident in? Because if he's just not that confident in, and you're like, bro, it's a 40, you're a DN, it doesn't matter anyway, right? Like, that can be, I don't want to say a red flag, but that can be a concern, right? Because you want a guy that is going to show up. So for Miles Murphy, if you're asking me, am I extremely concerned? No, right? But if I'm a scout and I'm an NFL scout and I'm there and I'm a general manager, assistant GM, director of college scouting, I want to know the details of this, especially if I'm taking this guy. Because how many times have we seen the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, mock Miles Murphy, right? So you're taking this guy top 10 and you're the Philadelphia Eagles. You want to know my top 10 pick that this guy is a competitor. And you watch the film, you know that Miles Murphy gets after it, but you want to know that. So you talk about the value of pro days. I think it varies right from prospect to prospect. But with Miles Murphy in particular, I think you have to figure out why you don't have any numbers, because benching at the combine is weird. And then I think here he didn't do anything. So you really want to figure out what's going on.
No, 100%. And I think because the reason why this is such a good topic to discuss is because we, as a community in the draft community, we will literally like overvalue like the pro day. Like, okay, well, such and such ran this at his pro day at the combine. Well, he ran so much fast. I think that happened with Jamal Williams. I think he was like a 4.5 at the combine, 4.4 or something like that. Then he got to LSU's pro day and he tapped into the 4.3s. And everybody's looking around like, wait a minute, is that real? Like, does he really?
Talking about Darrell Williams?
I thought it was Jamal Adams, I meant.
So it happened twice, man. Yeah, definitely. Like, and that's the thing. And I'm glad we're on this 40 times, right? Like, this is because it's another element of pro days. We see the numbers that get tweeted out from whoever, and that's why it's always good to find you a reputable source, because what happens is you have like the school, they have their hand time, right? They have their guy on a timer, and you know, we had a board up there, right? So boom, you run it and it's kind of like a scoreboard, and then 4 or 5 pops up, right? And so that's what kind of gets put out to the media, right? Because unless they're hand timing themselves, which most news media people, they're not hand timing 40 times, right? But what happens is, and this is where the separator comes in, the scouts are there also, and they're standing at the end of the 40-yard dash, and all of those guys is probably 30 scouts standing right by each other or sitting on a bench, and they have the hand time. So while the number may get pushed to you through media outlets and everything that, hey, this guy ran a 4.5, guess what? The Steelers scout, the Texans scout, the Cowboys scout, they have their own timer to where it's like, oh, this is actually a 4.7. You know what I'm saying? And they kind of know it like that. So with the 40 times, that's very important to make sure that you have a reputable source, especially, you know, in doing this and, you know, trying to, you know, I guess evaluate prospects and push it forward, because the NFL may have a totally different thing because of their hand time. So, it's a lot of politics that go at the end of the day, especially with the 40 times, man. But it's fun. Like I say, it's exciting for the guys. And, you know, it's because it's really, like I said, you're hosting an event. There are a bunch of NFL teams there. But the most important thing that they're looking at are the on-the-field drills, because that's the things that translate, right? Like when you're talking about because remember last year, talking about LSU guy, Derek Stingley, right? Because I don't remember if he ran or not. I don't think he ran at the combine.
I don't think so.
Because he had a hamstring injury. Then he came, ran a 4.4. He came in at almost 200 pounds. He was moving well. Then everybody remembered. Yeah, and everybody remember like, oh, damn, this guy's good. He's a pretty good athlete, right?
Oh, that's that guy from 2019.
I remember
this guy.
Okay, yeah, I remember now. So it was like that was the exact moment. So they serve a purpose, man. They serve a purpose. And like anything else we say with this, right, it's that combined with, you know, something else. But I always enjoyed pro days because you get to see these guys work out and everything. And then you also get to see the banter back and forth between the scouts, you know, and you get to pick their brain a little bit. But the application of this and, you know, part of this segment is the value of them. The value comes with the on-the-field drills, seeing how guys move, and then taking away, you know, bits and pieces to continue to put the piece of your puzzle together.
No, 100%. And I think you've laid out all this information so well for everyone. And the only thing I would tell the family, tell all the listeners, man, just value everything equally, man. Like it's like ingredients, man. It's ingredients when you're cooking or baking something. Like you don't certain things you don't overdo. You don't overdo on certain spices, right? You don't want it too hot. You want to make sure it's measured the right way in an equal amount so that when you get to the finish line before with your whether you're evaluated or whatever, you have your opinion. Like, okay, I watched him. I saw he did the combine. Saw he did his pro day. All right, this is how I feel about this player. Don't overvalue one thing. If you saw him at the Senior Bowl and he did not look great at the Senior Bowl, like, man, you know, don't overvalue that either. The tape matters. the Senior Bowl matters, the Shrine Bowl, wherever event they went to, or if they're underclassmen, they just went to the combine, that matters, the Pro Day matters. Everything is equal. Put it all on an equal scale and build your profile and your report from there. So just want to encourage everybody with that, man. But not a great, like I said, great information from the champ himself. Guy that's been in the building on those fields, he could give you that inside information, man. But guys, listen, we thank y'all so much for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen every day. But now to make your second listen, go to Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes. That's Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino, from free agency to the draft, salary cap management. Those NFL experts, they will take you through what it's like to build a successful NFL franchise. Every Monday through Friday, find Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Guys, listen, always tap in with us. You already know what we have coming. Go subscribe or follow the podcast for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episode as soon as it is available. Guys, we appreciate all the love and support. For Keith Sanchez, you can find him on Twitter at TheTalentCode. I'm Damian Parson, DP_NFL. Come and join the conversation again tomorrow on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.